Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Nick. And once again, I just want to thank this church for the wonderful welcome that they always give to us. And your prayers are reaching the world. The gifts that are given for the children's ministry is impacting the souls and the lives of thousands and thousands of children. I have a surprise for you. You know, one of the wonderful privileges of living the Christian life is that as you follow the Lord and as you allow Him to guide you, He leads you into contact with some really, really interesting and neat people. And that word interesting can be used in a lot of different ways, but that's what they always say to me anyhow. But one of the people that God in His grace brought us into contact with, who has been a marvelous blessing to us in our lives, is Pastor John Francis. Because this church prays for the ministry that that Nan and her team do with the children, and the giving through the giraffe in the hallway has supported materials that have gone into the kids' hands, gifts for those kids to take home. You know, you don't realize, but some of these children, that children's program is the only time in their life that they have ever received a gift. And it's hard for us to understand that. But for them to get a coloring book, for them to get a little laminated paper with a verse on it is really, really precious to them. So my friend John Francis is here, and I want him to come and say a few words, and I think he has a video that he's going to show of the ministry there as well. So Pastor John Francis, and where did our... You have, okay, you're ahead of me.
Good morning, everybody. I'm very happy once again to stand before you. As I was telling in the morning, I think we are going to have a small video so that it gives all the details of the ministry, what we have been doing in India. And upon that, I would like to request you to pray for the Church of India. I'm afraid to think if I'm not a Christian, if I would never accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I do not know how I would have been. But I thank and praise God. God has opened my eyes and opened my heart to know the Lord. Therefore, I really receive all the blessings which God has stored in His wonderful, precious word, and through the teachings of the many saints like Jean and other pastors throughout the world. And upon that, God has called me for the ministry to start in a city called Hyderabad in 1986. Before that, I would like to give you a little information about my life. When I was a 2 years young boy in the family, I was the youngest of the family. I was attacked by a severe disease called tetanus, and miraculously God healed me from the death. And my parents and I have a brother and two sisters elder than me. I was the youngest of the family. Because I was a tetanus attacked boy, they used to call me sick boy in the family always, because I used to be very thin and very weak, not able to do anything in all my childhood. So my parents would never allot anything to do any heavy works. We don't have flowing water in our houses, so we have to carry the water from the creek. And we don't have electricity in our houses. We need to light up the lanterns every day. That was the lifestyle. We don't have cooking ranges in our house. We have to go to the forest and gather the wood for the cooking of the meals every day. That was the style of our living. So as a sick child in the family, my parents allotted a small work, which is very simple, to clean the chimneys of the lanterns every day. Do you understand me? Chimneys of the lanterns every day. That is the easiest thing that I can do as a weak boy in my family. So every day I used to take the chimneys and clean it with the powder and trim the wicks and put on the kerosene and get the lanterns every day in the evening. But I never thought that is the ministry God is going to give me in my ministry and in my life. And God is called me for the ministry, and God enabled me to clean many chimneys of the lives and their hearts and light their lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. When I was cleaning the chimneys, I thought this is the neglected work. My brother, I have an elder brother who used to do all the strong works and heavy works, but I cannot do other than the cleaning the chimneys. But that was the only work God has given me in all my life to reach many hundreds of villages and thousands of hearts, cleaning with the word of God, cleaning their lives with the precious blood of the cross of the Calvary, for which I really thank God and praise God. People are very open. People are craving to hear the truth about God. Because we live in India, there are many mythologies, myths that they believe, which are not true. But when we go and teach the word of God to them, they really realize to understand and to believe the word of God. People are being saved every day and coming into the fold of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the attack of the religion is becoming very severe every day, because they are losing their people from their false faiths. And God is bringing the people into the church of, into the Lord church. Therefore, kindly pray with us as we are being attacked by the government and by the religion, because their foundations are shaking by the truth of the word of God. So people are loving the Lord, very open to accept the Lord. But religion is stopping, and every day the attacks are being heaping up on the churches, on the pastors, on the Christianity. As pastor was telling that they have targeted 2020, they don't want to see any Christians in India. That's what their woe is in India. Therefore, they're having banners everywhere. They're putting the posters. We don't want to see any Christians, any Bible preached in India. But God is powerful. We believe that God is going to make the way to reach the people with His word. I want to ask you, request you to pray with us so that we may reach the people and take the gospel to the very roots of the country in India. I have a show now. I have a picture, some of the pictures I want you to see, and continue to pray and support the ministry. Once again, I would like to thank Pastor and all the church here, especially Pastor Jean and Nancy, for being with us since 24 years in the ministry. They have been a great blessing to take the gospel into many, many hundreds of the villages in India. And Jean's cousin is there, Pastor Ken Buck, who lives in Spokane, Washington. He was just a believer in the church, but through the encouraging of Pastor Jean, he came to India, and he was the man. He suffered a lot on his first trip when he came to India through Calcutta. Upon his departure, on his first trip, he told Francis, "I would never come back to India in my lifetime, because I had enough trouble in my first trip." But God brought him 17 times to visit our India. And God used that canvas to build 127 churches to the villages. So God is doing amazing things in the ministry, for which I would like to thank you for your prayers, because really you are praying and supporting, but really you may not understand what God is doing. God is alive. God is doing through your prayers wonderful things. Thank you once again for the time, and I would like to request you to watch the video that I have brought to give more details of the ministry. Thank you once again. Please continue to pray for us. We'll be right back.
I am Pastor John Francis from Hyderabad, India. I was born and brought up in a Indian rural village in a Christian family. My pastor sent me to a Dune Bible College, which is in the north part of India, for 3 years course. After finishing the Dune Bible College, God placed me in the ministry in the city called Hyderabad. Hyderabad was a city which I have never seen with my own eyes. But God led me to start the ministry in the city called Hyderabad in a place called Borabanda. But by the grace of God, I was able to start the ministry with 4 people in my church. By doing that, after 6 long months of the hard work in the Hyderabad city, God added 50 to 60 souls more into my first church. Those 60 people are very eager to work with me in the ministry which God has called us to do. With the help of these 60 people, I used to visit some of the villages which never heard the gospel, even the name of Jesus. While doing these things, God opened the doors to establish different churches in the villages also. Therefore, Central Church has been a backbone and a stronghold for me to establish the Grace Tabernacle Ministries in 1986.
నా పేరు బత్తుల సుందర్ అండి. నేను గ్రేస్ టబర్నకల్ మినిస్ట్రీస్ లో గత 20 సంవత్సరాలు యొక్క సంఘ సభ్యునిగా ఉంటున్నాను. నేను త్రాగుబోతుగా ఉన్నాను ఇలాంటి భయంకరమైన పరిస్థితుల్లో.
I'm Brother Sundar. Since 20 years, I'm in the Central Church of Pastor John Francis, Borabanda, Hyderabad. When I was caught up with drunkenness, my family was destroyed by my bad habits. At that time, God spoke through Pastor John Francis. Then I gave my heart to Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm living in peace with my family and having good fellowship with my church. Through the word of his teaching, God blessed me very much. Please do pray for my family.
I am Dr. Aruna Jyoti, Grace Tabernacle Ministries Nandu. మరి స్త్రీల పరిచర్య విభాగాన్ని నేను కండక్ట్ చేయటం నాకెంతో ఆనందదాయకంగా ఉంది. గ్రేస్ టబర్నికల్ చర్చ్ ద్వారా మరి ఒక 50 సంఘాల వరకు ఆయా గ్రామాల్లో స్థాపించబడటం జరిగింది. అది మీ అందరికీ తెలిసిన విషయం.
I'm Dr. Arun Jyoti, wife of Pastor John Francis. I'm very much happy to lead the women's ministry in the Central Church and Grace Tabernacle Ministries. As we have 50 churches in the rural villages, we do conduct free medical camps and give free pharmacy to the poor and needy people. We do teach the people in the villages how to take care of the health through health and hygiene lessons. Please pray for our ministry in India.
గురు నలుగురితో ఈ పరిచయం ప్రారంభించి అంచెలంచెలుగా దేవుడు కృప చూపి మరి ఈ సమయంలో 25 సంవత్సరాలు.
I'm very happy to be a member of Grace Tabernacle Central Church. Initially, we started the church with a handful of people, but God blessed the ministry and increased it. This year, we are able to celebrate our GTM Silver Jubilee by the grace of God. Kindly pray for us and our ministry.
Establishing the new churches, we face that lack of the pastors to place in the village ministry. Because of the lack of the pastors, God inspired our hearts to start a pastor's Bible training course, which we call Grace Bible College. In 2002, we started Grace Bible College. Until now, we have graduated 7 batches. In each batch, 25 to 30 students, men and women. All those Bible College students who are graduated from our Grace Bible College, working in villages, establishing new churches and constructing the churches and leading the worships in the villages.
The 2003 ఈ గ్రేస్ టబర్నికల్ మినిస్ట్రీస్ ద్వారా జరుగుతున్న గ్రేస్ బైబుల్ కాలేజ్ నందు తర్ఫీదు పొందడానికి, ట్రైనింగ్ చేయడానికి నేను ఇక్కడికి వచ్చి ఉన్నాను. ఆ 2003 నేను ట్రైనింగ్ చేయడానికి వచ్చినప్పుడు నాకు బైబిల్ గురించి ఏమాత్రం కూడా అవగాహన లేదు. బైబిల్లో అసలు ఏమున్నదో ఏంటో నాకేమీ తెలియదు.
I'm Pastor John Victor. In 2003, I first came as a student in Grace Bible College to Pastor John Francis. When I joined in the Bible College, I don't even know what is Bible and how many books are there in the Bible. Through the Bible training, I came to know many things about Bible and also God's plan in my life. In 2004, I completed my Bible training, went to a village called Gunnampally and started ministry there with the help of Grace Tabernacle Ministries. In 2006, anti-Christian forces in my village put my thatched house on fire. So at that time, Grace Tabernacle Ministries have helped to build a church and housed by God's grace. Please do pray for our ministry.
దేవు నామక మహిమ కాలం గాక. నా పేరు బెత్లహేం రాజు. నేను గ్రేస్ టాబర్నికల్ బైబిల్ కాలేజీలో 2003 నుంచి 2004 వరకు.
ఐ యామ్ పాస్టర్ బెత్లహేం రాజు. ఐ గుడ్ బైబిల్ ట్రైనింగ్ ఇన్ గ్రేస్ బైబిల్ కాలేజ్ ఇన్ 2003 అండ్ 2004 అండర్ ది లీడర్‌షిప్ ఆఫ్ పాస్టర్ జాన్ ఫ్రాన్సిస్. I'm working as a pastor in a village called Lingampally. Ever since the beginning of my ministry, Grace Tabernacle Ministries have stood with me to help financial and also to give spiritual encouragement. Please pray for my family and village church ministry.
Since I was born and brought up in a rural village, I never attended a Sunday school in my lifetime in my childhood. God gave me a special burden to preach the gospel to the Sunday school children. Therefore, when I started the ministry in Hyderabad, I conducted the Sunday school ministry. When Nancy came and helped us in the children ministry, year by year children are increasing. Now we are having 15 to 1600 children in our children camps every year.
Hi, my name is Nancy Cunningham with Basic Training Bible Ministries. I'm very happy to be here in India with Pastor John Francis. India is one of my favorite places in the world. And I find that around the world, many pastors don't have time for children and for children's ministry. They only want to work with the adults. But I found working over the years with Pastor John Francis, one of the things that I love about him and Grace Tabernacle Ministries is they have plenty of time and passion for children and for children's ministry. I was here in India in 2001 with my husband, and we were doing village ministry with Pastor John Francis. For the last 10 years, I have been coming every year in April and May, working alongside John Francis and his excellent team, evangelizing the children of India and teaching them Bible stories and Bible truths so that they can grow in their faith in Jesus Christ.
As we are preaching the gospel in the villages, we find that there are villages without churches and pastors. One request came in one of the villages. A old man came and told that we don't have a church to worship on the Sunday. Please help us to build a church. At that time, Pastor Ken Buck and Pastor Gene Cunningham was with me. And with that request, we started to build the churches in the villages. By God's grace, with Pastor Ken Buck's help, and Pastor Gene Cunningham, and Pastor Roger Thierry and his church, and many other friends from America and Australia who helped financially and prayed for this ministry, I'm glad to say that so far we were able to build 100 churches through GTM ministry in India in the rural villages places.
Hello, my name is Gene Cunningham, and I'm the founder and the director of Basic Training Bible Ministries from America. I'm very happy to be here with Pastor John Francis and to have this opportunity to tell a little bit about our experience in his ministry. In 1993, my first trip to India, and we got to know him and his ministry, and we began to work together in going into a lot of the villages that he was visiting. John Francis has come up with a very good team and a very good plan of how to use these young men. As he's told us over the years, he'll send them out two at a time to go into some of these villages that have no churches. And these young men will go in and they'll begin to evangelize in the village. And working together with one of our other partners, Ken Buck, with Core Ministries, John Francis has also instituted a program for building church buildings for a lot of these young congregations. Over the years, it's been a great joy and privilege for us to come to India to work together with Pastor John Francis. There are many people in America as well as in Australia and congregations that we work with who are very interested in this ministry. And many of them across these two countries are praying for Pastor John Francis and for the ministry that's here. And of course, also supporting with their gifts and their offerings. So this has given an opportunity for a lot of people to get involved in the ministry, to exercise their spiritual gifts, to play a part of what God is doing here from the Central Church. And we feel that it's a very great honor and a very great privilege for us just to have the opportunity to work together with Pastor John Francis and Aruna and the wonderful team that they have here at the Central Church. We encourage all of you to continue praying, to continue to encourage and support them in the work that they're doing, and we'll certainly continue to do that and play whatever part God allows us to play as long as we can. We thank you very much for just hearing our report, and pray that it will stimulate and challenge you in your faith.
Pastors and the people in these villages are very happy and thankful for the churches that we have gifted them to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
My name is Pastor P. Joshua, working as pastor at Kodakanlu village, Warangal district. I started the ministry in 1984. When I was struggling with financial trouble, I was not able to construct church. Then Pastor John Francis came forward and helped me financially to construct the church through Grace Tabernacle Ministries, Hyderabad. In 9 different villages, we have churches. And Pastor John Francis helping us to construct the churches in the villages. Please continue to pray for our ministry. My name is Pastor P. John Mark. I am working at Siddipet, Medhat district. In 1994, I came in contact with Pastor John Francis. When I got saved, he sent me to Bible College for training. Then I started the ministry at Siddipet. In 1998, Pastor John Francis, Grace Tabernacle Ministries, Hyderabad, constructed a church at Siddipet. So, under the leadership of Pastor John Francis, we are moving forward in this ministry. Kindly continue to pray for our ministry.
Through Grace Tabernacle Ministries, by the grace of God, we are able to start an orphanage with 16 children in a city called Siddipet, where Pastor John Mark is working. Please pray for the orphanage ministry also. And we are helping the poor people who are sick and unable in the villages by conducting free medical camps and free eye camps to give the pharmacy freely and give medical treatment very freely in the villages. And whenever the natural catastrophe take place, like floods and earthquakes, our Grace Tabernacle Ministries helps the victims by providing some rice, blankets and some of the useful utensils to help the victims in these floods and the earthquakes. Please pray for this ministry as God is helping us to go forward. Also, we are helping to the needy poor students who are not able to buy their educational supplies. We provide educational supplies through Grace Tabernacle Ministries. And we care for the widows also who lost their husbands. And we provide them some saris and some little help to them to show the love of God in their lives. At the same time, in the future, we want to establish a old age home and a sewing center and many other supplies to give to the people. Therefore, kindly pray for the future projects also through Grace Tabernacle Ministries. We thank you and praise God for all what God has done throughout these 25 years of Grace Tabernacle Ministries, Hyderabad, India.
This is from this entire congregation, through me to you. We love you. Thank you.
So now you know some of the work that's going on in India.
I was so thankful when I heard that John Francis was going to be able to join us. And, you know, I would gladly give him all the time for him to share with you. I know sometimes when you're not attuned to his accent, it may be a little bit difficult listening, but I understand him perfectly now. I've been with him so long that I dream about him in my sleep. I want to share very quickly just a couple of things to wrap up for those who have been with us through the conference and for the sake of the ones who have come this morning. The theme that we've been following is the gospel according to the Apostle Paul, and we've been building it on 1 Corinthians 15. And I just want to share a couple of passages with us quickly in closing this morning, and I hope that everything that I share will really just add weight and validity to what Pastor John Francis has shared with us and to the video, because the needs in the world are great. I always think of Jesus looking on the multitudes and the compassion that overwhelmed him as he turned to his disciples and he said, the harvest is plentiful. The fields are white unto harvest, but the workers are few. If anything that we say during this session, if anything he shared or that I've shared or the singing of the music team could challenge anyone here to say, you know what, I can do more. I can do more. I can play a bigger part. I can pray more. I can give more. I can serve more in some way. I believe each and every one of us can do more than what we're doing now. And that would be a worthwhile challenge. So if you would open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel according to the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word that I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. As I mentioned in the first hour, 1 Corinthians 15 is the longest defense of the resurrection in the Bible. There's more information about the resurrection, and I wish we had time to go through it all. But what I want to emphasize this morning is simply the threefold foundation of our faith. Paul says that Christ died for our sins. When he went to the cross, he went for you and I. When he suffered for you and I. His suffering was substitutionary. He took our place. And as a result of paying the price in full, Jesus Christ was buried. He was truly dead. The myth, the fable, the deception that he only swooned and they put him into the tomb. Anyone who knows what scourging alone would do to the human body in the ancient world would know what a fallacy that would be. Scourging followed by crucifixion, to swoon and get up and walk out of your tomb if you were only a mere human being would be an impossibility. So Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. Now I want to very simply show you the importance of each of these historical events. It is in the crucifixion of Christ that you and I have forgiveness of sins. The crucifixion provides for us full and free forgiveness for our sins and the provision of eternal life. In the burial of Jesus Christ, we have the separation from the world. Salvation followed by sanctification. Christ was separated from the world. When someone is buried, they're done with this world. When we believe in him, we not only receive the benefit of crucifixion, we receive the benefit of burial, and that is separation from the world. And then resurrection, of course, the provision of new life. Think of it this way. In the crucifixion, you have forgiveness, and that is the work of Jesus Christ. In the burial, you have separation or sanctification. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And in resurrection, you have power, and that is the provision of the Heavenly Father. The Godhead is working together on our behalf at the cross. So with this as a historical reality, Christ hit the world with such impact that all of time to this day is dated from His coming. No matter where you go in the world, no matter what nation you are dealing with, we date time from the coming of Jesus Christ. That is the impact of His life, even on an unbelieving world. How much more to those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ. So on this firm foundation of truth, Paul says we are faced with a question, what will we do with it? What will we do with what Christ has done? Paul says that the Corinthians believed that truth. He says they received the gospel that He gave them. To receive means to believe. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who believed in His name. But they didn't stop at just believing. He says you believe in Him by which you are saved. That is a present reality with an eternal result. We have eternal life today. We will share eternal life forever and ever. And because we received it and because we have believed it, He says, in which you stand. And as I explained in our earlier session, the idea of standing here means to plant your feet and never move. We are secure in Christ. The security that we have is not based on our fallible walk. It is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. We fail often. He never fails. We are secure not because of our ups and downs, but we are secure because of His eternal work on our behalf. Now that brings us to the question that's posed, and that is, have we believed in vain? You'll notice that little phrase, and this is where too often questions are created in the minds of believers. Doubts are created in the minds of believers. I have never understood why a pastor would want to speak to people who have trusted Christ and create doubts in their mind. Have you really believed? Have you believed enough? Did you believe hard enough? Did you believe strong enough? Have you believed and held to it long enough? And they use passages like this to create doubts in the minds of Christians. So I want to just quickly deal with this, and then I want to move to a last section that will be a challenge, I think, for all of us. When Paul says, if you hold fast what I delivered to you, unless you believed in vain, he is dealing with a problem in the Corinthian church, and that problem is that after trusting Christ as their Savior, some of them were led astray by a false teaching. And that false teaching had Gnostic origins, in which they taught that matter was evil and spirit was good, and therefore they denied the physical bodily resurrection of Christ. And so Paul is dealing with a problem in the Corinthian church, and he is assuming the reality of their argument in order to prove the results of this false teaching. And you can see this if you'll follow me, beginning in verse 12. If Christ is preached that He is raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? I mean, he just went through from verse 5 through verse 11 saying Christ was seen by all of the apostles. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, most of them still alive. Paul says, last of all, He was seen by me. We are testifying to you of that which we know to be true. How is it possible that some of you deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And then he follows it to its logical conclusion in verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Wouldn't that make sense? The if here that keeps reoccurring in each of these verses is Paul assuming their argument for the sake of argument. Assuming their position for the sake of argument. So if what you say is true, then obviously if there's no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. Verse 14, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. You could translate that, our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. You see, if you hold fast to the truth that I taught you, you will have a sense of your security, giving you assurance for life. But if what I preach to you is false, then your faith is also false. If the message is not true, if we take the resurrection out of history, then we have no hope. We have a Savior who died, who's in the tomb, just like Buddha's in the tomb, just like Muhammad's in the tomb, just like every other religious leader is in the tomb. And what hope do we have? It is the resurrection that gives the victory to the cross. And it's the resurrection that gives power to the Christian life. So the Apostle Paul then says in verse 15, we have been found to be false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. If what you're saying and believing is true, then Christ didn't rise and our message is false. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And we could take the word futile and translate it vain again. As I mentioned to the group in the first session, Paul uses three different words for vain or empty. And they're progressive. And what they mean is, the first one that he uses in verse 2 is that if you believed in vain, if you believe something that is not true, you believe something without foundation. It had no true foundation under it, and therefore you believed in vain. And if that's true, then as he comes up to verse 14, he says, if Christ is not risen, your preaching is empty. And the word that he uses there is a word that means without power. Your faith has no power. Take away the resurrection, and where is the power for our faith? The power for our faith is that He is risen. Why do we meet on Sunday mornings? We meet on Sunday mornings. Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection morning. And then finally, down in verse 17, your faith is futile. The word here means to no end, without result. So what Paul's argument is, and it takes a while to dig this out. Believe me, I didn't come up with all this in 15 minutes. But what it comes down to is simply this. If you believe a message that has no foundation, there is not going to be any power in your life, and the end result of the decision that you made to trust Christ is going to have no end. But of course, we know that that's not the case, don't we? Christ died for our sins. According to the Scripture, He is buried and raised again. Now, in the earlier session, I took them to the end of 1 Corinthians 15. As I said, it's the longest discussion on the resurrection in the entire Bible, where Paul breaks out in almost a song of praise that Christ is risen from the dead, and therefore we know that we have eternal life, and the victory is ours because He conquered death. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 that Jesus Christ came that He might destroy the works of the devil. But the real question to us is the same question Paul is posing to the Corinthians, and that is, this is the gospel according to Paul, but what is the gospel according to you? What is your gospel? Whether you realize it or not, you're writing a gospel a chapter each day. By the deeds that you do and the words that you say, and men read what you write, whether faithless or true. So what is the gospel according to you? Because you see, unless you and I take the gospel of the Apostle Paul and make it a living reality in our life, it's not going to affect those who never open the book and read the gospel according to Paul. They have to hear, they have to see, they have to be able to observe the gospel according to us. And so the challenge that I want to leave you with comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you'll turn there with me, I will very quickly wrap this up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul makes a statement that I hope is a living reality in each and every one of our lives. He says in 1 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, or all were dead. In other words, the whole human race was dead in trespasses and sins, and therefore Christ came into the world to die for every member of the human race. We judge, we conclude this, we have the conviction of this, Paul says, and therefore the love of Christ compels us. And the word to compel is a word that means to drive force powerfully, or drive forward powerfully. So my question to his statement is, does it really? Does the love of Christ compel us? Is the driving force of my life the love of Christ? Is the power that wakes me up in the morning and gives me a sense of purpose and a sense of duty and a sense of destiny the love of Christ? If it's not, that could explain a lot about my failure to have an impact on the world around me. It's the love of Christ that lives in us through the power of God the Holy Spirit, who indwells each and every one of us who believe, who as we surrender ourselves to His will in obedience, goes to work in our life, producing the fruit of the Spirit, which begins with the love of Christ. And that love of Christ becomes the dominant factor of our life. Verse 15, he says, He died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. It raises another question. Who am I living for? Who do I really live for? Who do I make my decisions for? When I make decisions, when I make choices, when I come to those crossroads in life, how do I choose and who am I thinking about? How do I pray? Are my prayers simply a Santa Claus prayer? God, gimme, 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 gimme. Or are my prayers, as I grow in Christ more and more, forgetting myself, knowing that He knows my needs, and praying for those around me? We need to live for Him who loved us, who died for us and rose again. Paul says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. You know, we once knew Christ according to the flesh as a good teacher. Maybe we knew Him as a reformer. Maybe we knew Him as someone who changed history. But we know Him differently now. We know Him in the living reality of who He is. And because of that, he says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you? You know, it's always good as we read Scripture to ask ourselves questions. If anyone is in Christ. Earlier in the first session, we read 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. Where am I? Am I in Adam or am I in Christ? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Listen closely, folks. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Whose job is it to reach the world? John Francis? Facile John? Pastor Nick? No, it's yours. You have been planted on this earth with a circle of influence that no one else has. You are to be the light that shines in the darkness of your world. You are to be the one who has the answer for the questioning souls that you come into contact with, because God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, he says in verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and He has committed to us the message or the word of reconciliation. Well, you say, that's wonderful. He's given us a message. He's given us a mission. He's given us a power in the love of Christ. I don't know what to say. How do I speak and say what I need to say? Well, Paul anticipated your problem. He gave you a very simple message. You say, how can I make the gospel clear? I believe it. I trust that Christ died for my sins. I know He was buried. I believe that He was raised again. How do I communicate that message to someone else? I'd say verse 21 would be a pretty good place to start. He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It's not up to you to convince them. Has this ever occurred to you? It is not up to... We really don't win people to Christ. We just shine the light. It's the Spirit of God that wins them to Christ. It's the Spirit of God who convicts men of sin, righteousness, and justice. It's the Spirit of God who brings to bear on their soul the truth of the gospel that they're hearing. It's the Spirit of God who opens the eyes of their understanding and gives them the capability to receive the truth that they're receiving with simple, childlike faith. If in fact we have the ministry of reconciliation, if in fact we are, as he says in verse 20, ambassadors for Christ, God needs to plead through us with the world around us, be reconciled to God. Be made right with God. You can be right with God. Every person in the world needs to hear. The way has been made clear. All of the obstacles have been removed. God has made it as simple as it can possibly be. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You are a witness of that truth if you're here this morning as a believer. I am a witness. And one day, my friends, we will stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. Each of us are going to give an account. And the question is going to be a very simple question. What have you done with what I gave you? It's not how good were you compared to someone else. It's not how good did it look on the surface. It ultimately comes down to, I deposited a treasure within you. What have you done with the treasure I gave you? I pray that we will each and every one of us be able to answer that question. An old poem that I learned from my father. If I can stand when all about my posts are falling, if I can run with speed when needy hearts are calling, or if my torch can light the dark of any night, then I must pay the debt I owe with living light. For any gift God gives to me, I can't repay. His gifts are only mine as I give them all away. God's gifts are like His flowers that show their right to stay by giving all their bloom and fragrances away. True wealth cannot be found or go in gold or mines, estates or marts. The only truth on this earth is found in human hearts. That is the treasure which brought Christ from heaven. That is the treasure He came to seek. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life for many. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. How does He do it? We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His mouth. We are His ears. We are His heart. We have to play that part. Let the love of Christ compel us. Thank you very much. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray and then we're going to watch a video of Amazing Grace. You know, I have to tell you, our son did 2 tours in Afghanistan as a Marine. Came back and joined the fire department. As a firefighter, he found out they had a vacancy on the pipe and drum corps, bagpipe. Within a year, he's picked up the bagpipe and plays it beautifully. So when I watch this guy on the screen, I'm thinking of our son. Think of Cody. Pray for him and his young family. Father, we're thankful for the dear hearts that have come here this morning. Each and every life is so precious to you, far beyond our capacity to even comprehend. And Father, you desire to use each one of us, weak instruments as we are, to transform the lives of those around us and to introduce people to our Savior in order that they might enter eternal life by the new birth that comes through faith. Help us, Father, to play our part. Help us to hold our torch high. Help us to run with speed when needy hearts are calling. Help us to stand firm in our post, though those all around us fall. Help us to give away the treasures that you have deposited in our soul. And one day we will stand in the presence of Christ. And when we're asked, what have you done with what I gave you? To point to the souls who are there because we played our part. Bless us to that end, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
that saved a wretch like me. I am once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
And now may the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the grace and fellowship of Jesus Christ be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.